Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in Tribune Tower. We talked about the issues of Obamacare, but Trump's cabinet nominees have begun making the rounds of senators. Illinois senior Democratic Senator Dick Durbin met recently with Trump's nominee for attorney general. That's Alabama Republican Senator Jeff Sessions. And yes, while they're Senate colleagues, Durbin, who's a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, says he has some concerns about Sessions.
My first priority was to discuss what I consider to be a heartbreaking and terrible situation in the city of Chicago when it comes to the number of homicides. We've had over 760 homicides in Chicago this year. I should say last year, and that was more than Los Angeles and New York combined. It is a record-breaking number for the city, at least going back to the 1990s. And there are two things that the mayor of Chicago is looking for, that we're all looking for. One, resources to hire more police provide more training and more equipment. And secondly, an effort by the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice to take a look at the management of the police department, find a way to make it better, more effective, and to restore confidence in the community with our local police department. I asked Senator Sessions point blank, will you support maintaining and increasing the funds for cop grants, for burn grants, for federal resources that could come back to cities like Chicago and Baltimore and St. Louis and help them through these crises? He was not prepared to make that commitment.
That's U.S. Senator Dick Durbin after meeting with the Republican nominee for Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Joining me now on the phone is Rajna Krishnamoorthy. He's a Schaumburg Democrat, and he's the newly minted congressman from the 8th Congressional District. Congressman Krishnamoorthy, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning. So I guess you're doing the learning training sessions out there in D.C. right now?
That's right. How to be a congressman. It's been...
There's so many ways you could go with that, you know.
there are. Hopefully we follow best practices. But basically this has been quite a week, Rick. On Tuesday, I was sworn in, and I had all my family with me, or a lot of my family. We had almost a busload of family in attendance, and I had my two little boys sitting with me and on my lap for the swearing in, and it was a really thrilling moment for our family.
And I know it's been a long time coming for you.
Yeah, I ran once before for Congress, and I took the silver medal in 2012. But after that race, where we ran a very dignified campaign, we didn't attack our opponent at that time, Tammy Duckworth. And the interesting thing is that Tammy and I became very good friends after that race, and she actually appointed me as an advisor to her office and so forth. But the upshot is 4 years later, she runs for Senate, and that opened up the spot, and I ran for her seat. And, we prevailed in a multiple candidate primary with almost 60% of the vote. And then we were, we won the general election again with almost 60% of the vote and won a lot of Republican and Democratic votes. So I feel very good about the outcome.
I want to ask you, going in now with kind of the very massive changes that are going on in Washington, starting at the top with a Republican president, to the fact of total Republican control of Congress, you're coming in as a Democrat. How much can you reasonably expect to achieve anything?
Well, it depends on what the incoming president's priorities are and how they align or don't align with the House Republican caucus. Right now, the House Republican caucus is pursuing one set of policies I don't necessarily agree with. Rick, I campaign on a platform of you know, how do we grow and strengthen the middle class and working families? That's kind of the only thing that I've been talking about for about 2 years now.
Plus, that was your initial floor speech, too.
That was my initial floor speech. Yes, it was that was what I focused on. And, you know, I think that if the incoming president makes that a priority, I hope to be a constructive partner. And, you know, he may we don't know if, for instance, he's going to pursue that transportation and infrastructure package that he's been talking about. That would be terrific for my district, because that is perhaps near the top of the agenda for constituents there, because I would represent the O'Hare Industrial Region, which is, as you know, a confluence of the country's busiest airport, along with numerous highways and railroads. And the Elgin O'Hare Expressway, which cuts right through, you know, doesn't reach Elgin or doesn't reach O'Hare at this point. And we'd like to see that change. I'd like to see that be a part of the package if he ends up unveiling that in the coming months.
There is so much that's kind of an unknown, and the question of
and
as you point out, you know, what there may be the House Republican agenda versus a Donald Trump agenda. And I mean, we kind of even saw a little bit of that even before things started rolling, when the issue of the House Republicans wanting to get rid of the ethics office, and then were forced to do a very quick about face, which did not.
Oh my goodness, that was quite a about face on earlier this week. You know, we were all shocked. You know, basically, you know, for your listeners, and this is kind of new to me, but basically, on the day of your swearing in, you as a new member of the Congress have to vote on certain rules, but they're rather perfunctory in the sense of, you know, when is the cafeteria going to be open, and, you know, that stuff like that, which is, you know, not very controversial. But the night before, we get word that the House Republicans, you know, want to gut the ethics office. And, you know, instead of focusing on the agenda that I talked about, you know, how do we help middle-class families and working families, this is their first move out of the box. And as you know, President-elect Trump tweeted that he was very concerned about this move. And I think that tweet, along with other criticism, caused them to do quite an about-face within 24 hours. So fortunately, that didn't make it into the rules package. But there were other rules that were concerning. And I've learned in 1 week that, you know, one of the reasons people don't necessarily trust Congress is they're not focused on the things that really matter to working families and the middle class. They're kind of distracted by a lot of other issues.
You're, as a new congressman, you're obviously going to be dealing a lot with constituent services. And
in
the myriad of the bureaucracy of Washington, that would seem to be almost a preeminent job for you.
It is. You know, I'm really glad you brought that up, Rick. We are putting a premium on this particular issue. How do we help people with their everyday issues? You know, everything from making sure that they're getting their Social Security checks or disability payments to, you know, making sure that families get tours of the Capitol and flags for various occasions, and then also serious issues related to immigration. And so we want to make sure that we're there for our constituents. And also we want to promote their economic interests, which is paramount to me. As I said before, you know, my agenda is basically how do we grow and strengthen the middle class and working families. So I would like to bring folks together in my district, Republicans and Democrats, and figure out what do they want and what do their constituents want, and make sure to give voice to that on Capitol Hill and do whatever we can to stitch coalitions to make moves, however incremental they might be, to build up to something significant.
Well, and as a businessman too, I mean, that's a thriving business district that you represent in the Northwest and West suburbs. I mean, which kind of is in a unique posture for a Democrat, yet you've been a successful businessman.
Yes, sir. I think that's one reason why I believe that I have some, you know, added credibility with my Republican colleagues, a lot of whom are entrepreneurs or small business people. And I've noticed even now talking to my freshman colleagues, Republican freshman colleagues and others, that, you know, we connect rather quickly because I can say that I've had to meet the payroll and keep my customers happy and win new business for my company. And how do we make sure government, nurtures the growth of small businesses, which are the engine of our economy, at the same time, you know, standing up for working families and middle-class families who are struggling, Rick. It used to be that blue-collar families and workers were the ones that were concerned about the next layoffs, and now white-collar families are in the same boat. We have Sears in my district, which has kind of been struggling lately. Motorola has been undergoing changes, which is headquartered in my district. McDonald's is in the southern part, or a lot of their employees and owner-operators are in my district, and they've undergone some changes over the last few years. So the sum total is that I'm a big proponent of nurturing small and medium-sized businesses, and at the same time, you know, living up to my kind of progressive credo, which is how do we help people climb the economic ladder.
We're speaking with Raja Krishnamoorthy. He's the newly minted congressman from the 8th Congressional District. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio, and joining me on the phone is Raja Krishnamoorthy. He is the Schaumburg Democrat who is the new 8th Congressional District Representative. Representative Krishnamoorthy, we started the program this morning talking about the fate of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And I know that Democrats will acknowledge that the program isn't perfect, and in many respects, you know, concerns about the impact on small businesses. But yet, here among many Republicans, the move to want to move quickly to repeal it without necessarily looking for a replacement. What do you see going on over there as you look across the aisle?
Well, first of all, I agree that there are challenges with the ACA, and I said don't end it, let's mend it. Unfortunately, on the other side of the aisle, I do see it feels very political to me, Rick, because basically what they're saying is we're going to repeal it, but we don't have a replacement for it. And here's the problem. First of all, you know, the Congressional Budget Office has already said that it's that move alone would increase the debt or the compound deficits by hundreds of billions of dollars over the next 10 years. Secondly, it would basically cause Illinois to lose almost 100,000 jobs and maybe $13 billion, upwards of $13 billion with a B, in lost economic output. And then most importantly, it would potentially rob 20 to 30 million people of their health care. And that's pretty serious if you think about it, given how many people are relying on it, in some cases for life-saving treatments. And this is not stuff that you want to tinker with lightly. So if they have a replacement plan that is going to improve things, then they should put it out there right away and adopt it, vote on it at the same time that they move to repeal. But at this point, they're just talking about repealing and there's no replacement. So that's very, very, very dangerous.
No, and indeed, you're seeing some Senate Republicans saying we ought to slow down on this and until there is some kind of a replacement that exists.
Right. I think that until they do so, come up with a replacement plan, this talk of a repeal sounds very political to me. And I'm just looking at it from a common sense perspective, which is that you know, there are a lot of businesses, a lot of industries, a lot of people who have basically structured their lives now to rely on the ACA and Obamacare as it is right now. Are there problems? Absolutely. And we've talked about these before. But let's work on trying to solve those problems. I don't believe that we should repeal it, and I certainly don't believe we should repeal it without a replacement.
You touched also on the issue of the president-elect wanting a huge, in his words, infrastructure program. And I guess, you know, is that realistic to expect a huge infrastructure program when you've basically had the Republicans in control of the House have been preaching austerity?
Let's see. I think that the president-elect is correct about the need for something significant on the infrastructure side, because you know our infrastructure is dilapidated, Rick. You know this. Our roads, highways, bridges are in disrepair. There are lots of incomplete infrastructure projects which are causing bottlenecks all over the Chicago area. And then there's also other types of infrastructure that has to be modernized, everything from our grid, electrical grid, to, bandwidth for internet. Other countries are really eating our lunch in this department. And so, you know, Illinois is no longer competing with just, Indiana or Iowa. It's competing with China and other countries. So I hope that the president does do something significant, and there's a funding source for it. But that is obviously something he has to work out with his House Republicans.
So we'll stay tuned.
Exactly. You know, with this president-elect, We know some things about him, but there's a lot of question marks. And I think that in the coming months, he's really going to be fleshing out his agenda. I really, really hope that he focuses on those working families and middle-class families who are getting pinched and squeezed left and right. You know, they're not seeing a great increase in their salaries over the years. And at the same time, expenses like higher education, child care, health care, and other staple expenses for their everyday lives are skyrocketing. And so I really hope that he focuses some effort on that particular issue. If he does, then I will try to be a constructive partner. On the other hand, if he persists with rhetoric from the campaign that isolates people or divides people or tries to somehow persecute certain people based on their race or where they came from or religion or gender or so forth, then I will take a stand against them. But let's hope that he takes a better course.
That's Raja Krishnamoorthy. He is the Schaumburg Democrat who is the newly minted congressman from the 8th Congressional District. Congressman, thank you for joining me and congratulations.
Hey, thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate the opportunity.
We'll be back with more right after this.